Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this Sunday's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I keep forgetting I need to distinguish it between the Friday show, 11 a.m. right here on KSEV, Sunday is, it's a new day, it's a new week, but content will be similar as before. We really, at this point, don't differentiate between the two, other than, you know, it's just a time. It's an earlier time. And I'm hoping Mr. Dan DuBose will call in. He's, I think, in between cups of coffee, but it'd be great to have him if he gets enough coffee in him to come on in and let's discuss some of the current week's goings on out there in the real estate world or in the Fed's meeting world. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'll try to stay out of the war talk. I guess we could spend quite a bit of time on the who done it first, who reacted, etc. For those of you that listen each week, you realize that we do put a disclaimer out at the top of the show that regardless of what you hear on the show today, we hope we provide some informative or otherwise maybe entertaining content regarding tax strategies or specific syndication offerings. That's private real estate, private partnership syndication offerings. And don't go jump in the pool without checking with your lifeguard first. That would be your current advisors. Let's make sure that what you hear is accurate, number one, and number two, and most importantly, it fits your facts and circumstances. And if it does, great. With their help, fire away. Otherwise, let's chat first. If you don't have advisors, you can go to the BAPlanner.com site, and once you get out there, you'll see at the top right there's two links. One is call and one is forms, and the forms is second from the right. And if you'll go to that page, there'll be four steps if you decide to complete all four forms to get into our arena, where we can analyze and understand what you or your family's situation is, your facts and circumstances, and then we can determine whether or not we might be able to help you achieve your objectives. And we can do that by taking and scheduling a phone call, which you can do there as well after you complete at least step one of the forms. And we'll be happy to take a look and see if we can sync up with your objectives, expectations, etc. Okay, let's turn to the news. Speaking of the news, let's take a look at some articles. I put another five or so up today, even from Friday. There's still a couple on Friday that I wanted to discuss. And, you know, as I mentioned from time to time, we try to find articles that have the good, and we try to find articles that have the bad for the particular asset space or spaces that we consult with clients in. It doesn't pay to otherwise just report all the good stuff. There is a lot of good stuff, and that's the beauty of real estate. Whether it's an up market or a down market, somebody's making money, and unfortunately somebody's losing money as well. And it's a lot like the Monopoly game that you may recall playing, or I don't know, I haven't played it in a long time. You may be into the whatever the new rev is. I presume there's a new rev of the old game, but it's amazing how true some of those concepts are even today. But anyway, the first article I wanted to mention is an article about a San Francisco luxury apartment complex. This was on the 18th of October, just a few days ago. And let's look here and see. I want to see what the valuation did. It lost nearly half of its value, according to the title on the article. And I didn't get a chance to talk about this one on Friday. But in any event, it's a, let's see, the appraisal at $279 million falls far below the loan balance and signals multifamily is off considerably. Well, first of all, I'm going to say it is amazing that a property can drop that quick, that fast. On the other hand, and that was, by the way, from 2018 to 2023. And it is incredible that the valuation would go that far into the water, but or underwater. But in any event, it can go back up. There's a lot of things that have to happen. I mean, the most valuations with most real estate, or at least the commercial real estate classes, have to do with the net operating income and the current cap rate that the property is trading at. And in any event, it still boggles the mind how quick that value just pretty much evaporated. And somebody's going to find it. Whoever buys the property and has the ability to affect the NOI will ultimately reap you know, the benefits of that structure. You know, that, you know, it's like a black box. You know, money goes in and hopefully more money comes out. But in any event, 2018 valued at $544 million, and now a recent appraisal, $370,000 per unit, or $279 million. And that's a pretty, you know, when you think about it, this property was $700,000 per unit, and that's that'll buy you a nice apartment building at that level. But in any event, it's looking like bondholders and maybe even the lender, although I think the lender probably securitized the loan into the market. But anyway, remember, none of us are average. We're all actual. And for every default, there's another $50 to $100 million or $400 million loan being made to somebody that's walking up with a new project. And it, again, it's based on NOI and cap rates, you know, what are being demanded by either lenders or lenders or buyers. So it is the borrower, in effect, what they're willing to pay. Let's take a look at, and by the way, that site that article is on is The Real Deal. .com. It's real estate news. It's a good site to be on. It's probably one of the few worth paying for, but you still get some free articles initially, and it has a lot of Houston news. I forget all the markets it covers, but you can narrow it down. You can get in, here's a list of the markets: Texas, National, Chicago, San Francisco, South Florida, New York, and LA, and they pretty much have their ear to the ground, and it's amazing some of the stuff that shows up out here before it's common knowledge. But in any event, check it out. You'll be interested, obviously, to read when Houston projects come across their radar. Let's see. There was another San Francisco article this past Friday. Let me see which one that was. Right above that one on the 12th, it was another article about San Francisco multifamily, indicating that their values have sunk to a level where there's opportunities, which, again, we make money in the bad times, we make money in the good times, and it all depends on where and when you pull the trigger. Timing and location are especially important at this point. And in any event, with cap rates rising, as the article indicates here, up to 2011 levels. That's amazing. 12 years since we've seen this level of cap rates. And, of course, as the cap rates go up, the prices get lower. Cap rates go down, the prices become more expensive per dollar of NOI, effectively. So with more attractive cap rates, higher cap rates, people are definitely seeing opportunities. We're seeing newer buyers, even people we haven't seen before, according to one of the prognosticators here in the multifamily real estate market, an agent, and a lot of mom-and-pop buyers is the quote, which that's nothing new to us. That's pretty much what we deal with as clients, and often they're buying from other mom-and-pops, although in some cases they're buying from larger syndicators. There's a telling sentence here in this article. It says that, the big institutional investors, buyers who had bought nearly every building over 12 units in the city that came to the market in the last 10 years are not showing up. And so that's opportunity knocking. Again, you're not having to compete against the big boys and their resources, or big boys and girls and their resources. But anyway, so that's San Francisco. Let's talk about some positive areas of the country. The article right above that one is just in general, where it talks about multifamily remains a, quote, favored nation, CRE or commercial real estate asset class, and that's for a lot of reasons. It has been, and it probably will continue. There's obviously market dynamics that can change that, but when you consider that, unlike an office building or unlike even something as tangential as a self-storage property, you got to have a place to lay your head down at night with multifamily. And so, it will ebb and flow. There will be supply and demand issues. I know in the markets that we tend to focus on in Texas, Phoenix, Seattle, et cetera, the supply still doesn't seem to have outranked the demand or outpace the demand, so that helps. And then when you see what's going on with real estate mortgage rates, which we'll talk about here in a minute, who do you think it benefits when people that would otherwise be in the market to buy can't qualify? Well, naturally, it's the multifamily investors that are reaping the benefit of that. But anyway, key multifamily markets where we're seeing continued growth are the familiar ones: the Southwest, Carolinas, Tennessee, places where people want to move and live and get away from all the craziness. That's Globe Street's author. In the blue states, their quote, all the craziness in the blue states. Jersey City has also been hot, along with some boroughs in New York, which, again, that mirrors exactly what we see when we look at syndication offerings coming into the market. But, you know, there's a comment in here that offices and condos in New York have been a sugar show. The world is upside down. Loans are maturing, and there are few investors who are there to pony up the money to take them on. If they do, it's a short-term arrangement and a hope and a prayer. And that's the case in many markets. Some markets, you can't even get a loan. And the ones that the lenders that do offer loans, as one of my investor clients told me the other day, have crazy hoops that you have to jump through to qualify, to maintain, to be in compliance with the loan terms. Let's do this. It's time for the first break. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back here momentarily with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more giving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com, Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I wanna be. Big dreams and vague dreams, and there are many just like me
with big dreams and vague dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this Sunday's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and we were going through various of the news articles, the current articles added to the BeAPlannerShow.com site, our companion site to the BeAPlanner.com site. So you can go to BeAPlannerShow.com and click the resources link at the top right, and see these articles there for your reading enjoyment if you can actually get to them. Most of them you can, unless you've been reading your free allotment on sites like Wall Street Journal or New York Times. But if you need a link, I can share a link with you, I believe, that'll get you an article or two. So let me know. Let's take a look at an article that came out on the 20th, multifamily. And again, this just goes to show the good and the bad, the yin and the yang that I mentioned earlier. Multifamily market could be on the cusp of stabilizing. And again, you can look at some markets and say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Look at Houston, for instance, or Dallas. Stabilizing? I don't know. They haven't really gone down much. The rate of growth may have peaked a bit on rental growth, but it's not like they've got a massive vacancy issue like San Francisco or others. But in any event, there are more and more brand new apartment units that are coming into the market. Houston, I think, has about 21,000 here in the next 12 months. I believe San Antonio was I think 18 or so the last time I checked. Dallas, similar numbers. So those markets could see a pause in some of the growth rates, especially the rental growth rate, which is, that's a key metric for what we're looking at. We're looking, when we see a new private placement offering, we're looking to try to confirm the assumption set is rational on their pro forma information. And if you've got a syndicator that's in a market where generally the rental growth is projected to be at, you know, maybe 1 or 2%, and you've got a syndicator saying, well, like I saw one the other day, it was believe it was a deal up in the Midwest that they were suggesting they're going to get a 10% rental growth rate first year, and then I think 5% for the next 2, 3, or 4 years. And I don't know, that seems kind of aggressive. And I would tell you, as you take it in the overall, you can't just hone in on one metric. You've got to look at, you know, in conjunction with the equity multiple that's being projected. You've got to look at the cap rates that are going in and going out. Going out is the exit, especially critical, because if that varies much at all, then there may not be as much money at the end of the game as you're counting on to get the large majority of your gain. I mean, you'll get some gain potentially throughout, because you're going to get distributions of the interim cash flows, including any refinances that might occur. And but in most cases, you won't get your true profit until you get to the last step and the syndicator sells the transaction. And of course, the syndicator is taking a chunk of that back end profit as well. So again, if you're in a transaction where the passive investor, which is primarily what our clients, it's the role they sit in, if you're waiting around for the crumbs that are left, you may be disappointed in a market like we have today, where nobody really knows where these cap rates are headed. But I can tell you this, if you're an existing owner and the cap rates are going up, you're going to make less on your exit, whatever gain you were thinking. And, you know, if the market were to stabilize and the cap rates start going down, well, then you're sitting pretty. And it's a blessing and a curse. It is most assuredly a two-sided sword that you really don't have a whole lot of control over. You can semi-control the net operating income. That's a major variable in the equation that's used to determine apartment valuation. You know, you can affect to some extent the rental rates. You can affect to some extent the expense load, and so you can have some input in that, but in large measure the factors are beyond your control. There's not as many levers or levers that you can pull to accomplish your desired outcome. But in any event, a couple key numbers in this article: demand about multifamily kind of stabilizing. This is a national focused article. Demand reached its highest peak since 2021 at 116 8,000 units. Let's see, is that... that was 2021 number. So this is even looking back. This article just came out, but they're looking back at data that they, I guess, feel pretty confident is correct. 140,000 new units came online as the demand hit its peak at 116,000 units across the country. The difference pushed the national vacancy rate up 10 basis points to 7%. However, the fact that this marked the slowest rate of vacancy increase since 2021 signals that the market could be on the cusp of stabilizing. Well, you know, again, we're actual, we're not average. And I would tell you in some markets, like Houston, like Dallas, we're still ahead of the curve on I think both absorption, which are the number of units that got leased over the last whatever period we're looking at. But here's a good comparative in the article, though. Austin is one of our weak spots right now in the state of Texas. And if you look at the worst gaps between demand and supply, they, too, are in the Sun Belt states, just where the good stuff is. You got some of the bad stuff. Those states, the Sun Belt states, saw the fastest growth, the rent growth, in 21 and 22, and are now seeing rents dive in many markets. Among the worst affected were Atlanta and Austin, where rents rose 17% in late 2021. That's amazing. That seems like 15 years ago now. As you read that, Atlanta is now facing negative rent growth of 3%, and Austin, that's not just a negative rate of growth, that is actual hard numbers. I believe the way they're calculating this, a negative 3.1% growth, and in Austin it's even higher, it's 4.8%, and That's a kick in the shorts. That's tough if you're the owner or investor. And again, I would love to go back and pull some syndications that we reviewed 3 years ago in Austin and see what pro formas were on rent growth. And I'll promise you, they didn't factor in a 4.8% negative in 2022. I can promise you, nobody shows a negative rent growth when you look at these syndication documents. Another casualty of the oversupply is luxury rentals, which account for 70% of all new multifamily construction. Why wouldn't they, right? That's where the best rents historically have been paid, but boy, you've got to have some deep pockets to build. I mean, I see the new units that some of the big REITs are building are going in the $350,000 to $400,000 a unit in Dallas and Texas, or Dallas, Austin, and Houston. It's amazing. And those in the 4 and 5 star category that had significant rental growth or now rent growth has fallen 0.4%. The occupancy rates have shot up 9.1% in those categories. So in any event, but demand in the mid-market classes, which saw a lot less new construction, remained positive, enabling a 1.4 increase in the rent growth. So again, picking your poison is key to some of these outcomes. Some of the larger, you know, the top 10, 15 metros, Northern New Jersey, Cincinnati, 3.4% rent growth, highest in the nation. So again, bright spots in amongst the gloom do exist. Let's see. Let's pull a couple more here before we take our last break. The Fed met this week, And I've got that article there. It's the second one on the list, and it's more of the same. We're seeing improvement. We still have uncertainty, and we're going to proceed with caution. That's the summary of what was discussed. And, of course, they really don't know. That's what it should say. Of course, they do say uncertainty. But Chairman Powell spoke at the Economic Club, actually. It wasn't a Fed meeting. And it's, as the journalist or the reporter says, it was another example of the power of inscrutability. It's an interesting take. Recent economic figures show ongoing progress toward goals. That's a mixed bag, actually. But in any event, Powell offered a view that while he acknowledged the improvements, he also cautioned about how far there was to go. And, of course, most people that are in the real estate or the commercial real estate sector read that statement as being positive. The glass is half full. It's not half empty, in other words. But in any event, I don't think there's any chance we're close to interest rates declining, and based in large measure, obviously, on what the Fed's doing. We're seeing 8% mortgages now on single family, and it's crazy how fast all that has happened. Let's see, one more here. The Kiplinger article, let's do it. Let's talk about tax for a minute, tax planning. The Kiplinger article on October 18th, 12th, five tax moves retirees should consider before 12/31. And I like the way this article explains that, hey, instead of waiting till March of 2024 to do your tax planning for year 2023's return or reporting, why don't we get started now? You're really already a little late, but at least you can still execute some things to change, to move the needle on your tax bill. And these five things that most people could do if they so chose to, depends on what kind of saver and what kind of giver you are. But in any event, as they say, or as the author, what he says here at the very outset, for me, the dread of tax season truly arises when I start receiving 1099s, W-2s, 1098s, etc. in February. It's time to gather everything, fill out a painful spreadsheet, or tax organizer as we call it, and write a check to my CPA. The fourth quarter, on the other hand, is fun. This is when you can be strategic. A tax puzzle emerges with sometimes very favorable or very unfavorable results. The fourth quarter is for tax planning, not reporting. We would argue that the year before you file your return is for tax planning, not just the last quarter, but hey, we'll take it. If people would get interested in the fourth quarter, it would still save a lot of money. And the author even goes on to say, I realize that I'm in the minority thinking that tax planning is fun. However, and this is key, the things you do before December 31 are typically what save you the bigger dollars. And that is absolutely something that's fun for most people. So here's five things that we can do. I tell you what, let's go ahead. We're right on the mark for taking that last break. Let's go ahead and take the break, and then we'll come back and discuss these five things, and then we're going to touch on one 506B syndication offering as we close out the show. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Nice on a win, no matter how much I lost.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before the break, I was starting to discuss an article that was on Kiplinger a few days back regarding tax planning and some things that you can do, five things retirees specifically can do, although it's not relegated to retirees. Anybody that fits the facts here can participate. One is Roth conversions, quote, in the valley. And that effectively means, you know, you take things that are down and might come back, and stocks, I guess, or mutual funds. That said, I'm going to tell you, if you have not yet experienced the significant win-win of the real estate private partnership syndication model, a direct hit. It's like a, I wouldn't say a Scud missile. I would say it's more like a, Minuteman missile. I'm not sure. Whatever the more accurate ones are that we have, the expensive ones, right? The $1 million plus, missiles. But in any event, with a Roth with a pre-tax 401 or IRA that's invested in a real estate private partnership syndications, when you convert to Roth to calculate the valuation of that investment, and you don't have to sell it, you don't have to otherwise transact it, you don't have to tell the syndicator, you don't have to get permission. You do want to get someone, a third party, that understands how to value the investments, but most private company investments will get a significant discount to value. I would say at least half of what you invested. So $100,000 invested through your IRA or your self-directed 401 trust, aka solo K, could be typically valued, depending on the facts and circumstances, they're all a little different, could be valued anywhere at from you know, 40 to 60% of what you invested. So for each $100,000, let's just pick the midpoint. Instead of paying tax on $100,000 to convert those funds to Roth, as you would if your money was still sitting in market-based investments, stocks, mutual funds, etc., you would call up Fidelity, Schwab, UBS, whoever is your account is with, and ask, well, what was the value at the close of business today? And they'll tell you. And, you know, $100,000 is usually $100,000 or thereabouts, unless the market tanked, in which case that would be a good time to pull the trigger on a Roth. But unfortunately, the market doesn't have the longer-term history of success for most people, as does the real estate, particularly the multifamily real estate private syndication option. And so not only do you get an investment that performs well historically, you're getting to convert your money to Roth at a fraction of what you would if it were still in the market, quote unquote. And so in any event, if you're even remotely interested in learning more about these real estate private partnerships, whoever you reach out to, don't forget to ask them, well, what about if I put my IRA or my self-directed 401 trust, again, same as the marketing term is solo K, what if I do the conversion with those funds that are already, it is key that they already be invested in these private partnerships, but make sure you understand the benefits, because it gives you some significant downside risk just in the tax savings on converting to Roth. But anyway, converting to Roth, absolutely something that anyone that has pre-tax retirement funds, I don't care if you're 19 years old or 65 or whatever, you qualify, unless any of you older folks that might be in your 70s say, well, gee, aren't I too old? Well, it depends. If you've got heirs that you want to leave a legacy to, you're not too old, because it'll save them tax dollars, significant tax dollars, if you convert to Roth and take care of the tax now. And then, of course, we're counting in most cases the value of the investment going up, and the appreciation will all be free of tax if it's in Roth by the time that occurs. And for those of you that listen to the show, you know that we talk consistently about higher tax rates are coming. They must come by 2029 or 30, because we will no longer have any portion of the federal budget that's discretionary. And I would refer to my U.S. debt clock .org site again, and I can't remember where we were. I think Friday we were about $33 trillion. I can't remember how many billions, but just checking it again. Now we're at $33 trillion, 660, almost 61 trillion dollars. It's gone up dramatically just in the last 3 days since we were on Friday. But anyway, you know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it, but at the bottom of that site, there's links for other metrics that are interesting to take a look at. You've got one of their collateral sites tracks home sales. Another one tracks auto sales. There's energy output, gold, precious metals. This site is just a treasure trove of information. But in any event, the Roth conversion is a big deal, and I would really encourage you to check with your advisors and see if it might fit your facts and circumstances. Let's see. Oh, I guess I should mention that, you know, when you convert to Roth, you're going to pay tax at your current rate on that tax base that we mentioned could be as much as, you know, half what it is sitting in the market. So you'll add that to your current year's taxable income and pay tax accordingly. We like to stay in the 22 to 24% brackets if at all possible, although we recognize that the even if you're paying the highest bracket, 37%, the tax brackets are on sale. Never been lower. If you're, say, 60 years or older, or 60 years or younger right now, I believe it's a true statement that the rates have never been lower in your lifetime than they are right now. And I know everybody complains about paying taxes. Trust me, come 2029 and 30, when the tax brackets will more than likely scale up by as much as 200%, you're going to look back at 2023 and say, gee, why didn't I listen? And you could have had your money converted to being non-taxable, or at least your big money. And your RMDs, if there even are any at that point, there's not, by the way, with the 401 trust, the solo K or the 401 trust, as we call it, does not have RMDs. So as long as you're still doing some form of self-employment income that qualifies you. Call us or contact us. Fill out our form there at beaplanner.com, top right, and let's take a look at your facts and circumstances and see just how much potential there is for your specific type of retirement funds. We can also, a second strategy is realizing capital gains. If you've got, if you're sitting on, it's something that you may want to take some of the gain off the table. And, without getting into the bracket discussion, again, you can do a lot on saving capital gains money if you, work it into your overall income tax brackets that you're hitting. And in some cases, you can pay zero. I believe on a single person, it's up to, I don't have it in front of me, but it's somewhere between $50,000 and $75,000. You pay zero. And that's a pretty good perk under the current brackets. You can the third strategy is evaluate your Medicare thresholds. The IRMA cost that you have for Medicare. It's the part that affects your Plan B coverage, and depending on how much you're making, the premiums derived from your gross, not taxable, your gross income 2 years prior. But guess what doesn't go into that gross income calculation? No Roth dollars. So again, the Roth is a winner on both the income front, the income tax front, and the IRMA. So your premiums, which you pay into Medicare, will not go up for Part B, assuming your income is tax-free. Let's see. A fourth strategy is take your RMDs out and fund retirement accounts for the current year. And, that's a way to offset what otherwise is going to be affecting, whether your Social Security gets taxed. It's going to affect IRMA, and, of course, it's going to affect which bracket you're in. Lastly, consider, the fifth strategy is making QCDs or qualified charitable distributions, where you take money from your market accounts, like appreciated stock, and you contribute them directly to a charitable organization. It allows you to reduce your gross income, not just your taxable income, and that will also avoid affecting your IRMA premiums. So it's taxable incomes and IRMA are the two things that we get a lot of benefits from converting more funds over to Roth. And by the way, again, feel free to text me or call me, 713-581-0195, if you need more information on any of these strategies. And there's assorted others, but these are five that Kiplinger likes, pretty mid or mainstream, and it'll have direct impact on your out of pocket. Okay, let's just real quick, I'm going to tease with a syndication that we'll circle back on Friday and talk about. 102 units, this is in Texas, 1967 build, $68,000 a door. That's a good price for the time we're in. It's a relatively small 7-point million acquisition, $3 million equity. It's got a Fannie Mae assumable loan, 4.9% fixed rate. You're not seeing many of those anymore. 8.3 years remaining on the loan. That's awesome. 73% LTV. That's back when lenders actually loaned you some money instead of cutting you off at the knees. But anyway, they're projecting 6% rental growth for the first year, 3% thereafter. Don't know about that in this particular market. That seems to me to be a little bit of a stretch. The capital plan is, let's see, they're going to spend just over $1 million, adding washer and dryers, things like that, some curb appeal and grounds improvements, a hold period of 3 to 8 years. Cap rate, they're assuming a flat 6%. Not sure about that either. That's a little bit aggressive, but in any event, it's got a reasonably decent equity multiple. Not exactly what we're looking for, but look, it's something to consider. Of course, you can't invest if you're not already a member of the platform that's offering it, nor can you invest if you don't already have a connection, an introduction, if you will, to the syndicator. Okay, well, I think we're getting close to the end of the show. I had a little bird whisper in my ear, and we hope that you will come back and join us this coming Friday. We'll go into more detail on this Texas offering, and we're glad you were able to tune in today, and as usual, I enjoy doing it. And look forward to doing it again on Friday, right here on 700 AM KSEV, the voice of Texas. And get some questions in to me before the show on Friday, and I'll try to address them real time if we can work them in. Thanks for listening in today, and we look forward again to this coming Friday.
Thanks for listening, 11 a.m. And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Ooh.